Have your Bibles, turn with me to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. Going to be a series of messages the next few Sundays on God's promises. The promises of God. The promise is only reliable as the one who makes it. Father in heaven, thank you for the opportunity I have to share this word today. And now prepare our hearts to receive it and help me to share it in a simple way. In Jesus' name I pray. It's only reliable as the one who makes it. Do you ever make a promise and break it? You know, sometimes we make promises to our children as we go through life and promise to do this and promise to do that. Sometimes we break our promises. Do you realize what that does to a child? What's that song, Dick, that I like to have played at Father's Day? What's the title of that? Do you remember the song? It talks about Dad making promises, and finally the kid grows up. The boy grows up and says, no, I don't have no time for that now. Huh? Cat's in the Cradle. Well, it's a secular song, but I can tell you it really packs a truth. Talks about a child, son growing up, and dad promises to do this and to do that and to do this and to do that. And before you know it, the boy's grown up and he's on his own and didn't have a chance to do any of that. Now the dad's got some time on his hands. He's probably nearing retirement, and now he has time, and he wants to do things with his son, and his son sort of reminds him of the promises he made and didn't fulfill. Do you ever have a promise made to you, and somebody broke it? They broke the promise they made to you? The Bible has a lot to say about vows. It is better not to make a vow than to make one and break it. People today have no problem, it seems, breaking vows. But the Bible says, don't make a vow if you intend to break it. It would be better that you don't do that. Because of circumstances beyond our control, we can't always keep our promises. But I can tell you, the Lord of the universe has never, ever failed to fulfill his word. God's promises are contained in the Bible, in his word. That's where his promises are there. And I want us to understand how important our Lord's faithfulness is. So we need to recognize that in our life is totally dependent upon his promises. For example, the only reason we are certain that we have eternal life is because of the promises we have in the Word of God. We have a home in heaven. Dale talked about that in the Sunday School Hour. We're going to have new resurrected bodies, and by the way, so will unbelievers. Believers will have new bodies, and so will unbelievers have new bodies. They will both get new bodies. Now, those who don't believe in God will get a body, the Bible says, that will be fitted for destruction. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine having pain for eternity and torture? That's what the scripture says. For an eternity, that's a long, long time. So we have a home in heaven, eternal life, and resurrected bodies awaiting us. Because Jesus guaranteed these things to all his followers. Our Bible is filled with God's promises. And the most important thing we need to remember is not how many there are, and there's a lot of them, but the fact that he keeps every single one. He keeps every single promise. There's two types of promises. A promise is spoken or it can be written. It's a spoken or written commitment to perform a certain act or to refrain from doing something. Well, when would that be? Well, if you think about your marriage vows you made, you'll understand there's some things that you promise to refrain from. And the divine promises of God assures us that he will do what he says. And in the Bible, the Lord makes two of these types of promises. One is unconditional. This is a commitment that is made without exception. The Lord's covenant he made with Abraham is a pretty good example of what this unconditional one is. It's found in Genesis chapter 12, verses 1, 2, and 3. There, God committed to make him a great nation and bless all the families of the earth through him. He said to look at the stars, and that would be an example of how many would be blessed through him. And as his descendant, Jesus Christ fulfilled this blessing because salvation is available to everyone who believes in him. And then the other type of promise is a conditional promise. This is subject to certain mandates. For example, we have the offer of salvation. In Romans chapter 10 and verse 9, we have this offer. But it's conditional upon believing in Jesus Christ. We're told no one comes to the Father except through him. So we have conditions on salvation. You must believe in Jesus Christ. That's a condition. But the promise is made to all. And so you see, God makes both these kinds in Scripture. The conditional ones, because we can't control every circumstance. So our promises are conditional because we can't control that. So I want to talk about our misunderstandings. Sometimes we become disappointed in God because we think he has failed to keep his word to us. You see, the problem is our understanding. It's not his faithfulness because he's always faithful. And so there's several reasons why we don't always receive what we always expect. It can be different. I'm sure in Shane and Amanda's life, they sure got something they didn't expect. But in the midst of it, God's made good come out of it. Everything he makes good come out of it. Here's an example. Sometimes we desire something and believing God will do it. It doesn't mean that he has promised it to us. There's a big difference. You desired it. You wanted it to happen. But that doesn't guarantee that God's going to answer that. You see, that was your choice to desire that. Are you with me? That was your choice. Now, sometimes things we ask of God, and I'll be talking about that in another message, the prayer that moves God, the hindrance can be a result of unconfessed sin. You see, when we have unconfessed sins in our life, it creates barriers. Or as the scripture says, the heavens can become as brass. Do you know what that means? Nothing's getting through. I'm praying and I'm asking, I'm seeking God, but nothing seems to be moving God. God's not doing anything. You know what that causes? Can be caused by unconfessed sins. It creates a barrier in our relationship with our Lord. And then we need to consider God's word needs to be considered in its entirety, in its full form, all the way from Genesis to Revelation. We can't pick and choose certain verses and claim promises outside the context. Now, many times people always pick a scripture out to try to justify their opinion. Do it all the time. Shouldn't do that. Because you're taking a scripture, as we say, out of context. That particular scripture was written there for a reason in that particular context. Now, if you want to use that scripture, you need to read the whole chapter. Don't pick the verse out. Read the whole chapter. Then decide whether you can use that or not. You see, people pull that out of context. Many of our Lord's promises are conditional. And you see, we may not meet the requirements. And if we don't meet the requirements, don't expect God to answer it if you didn't meet the requirements. You know, there are certain things that we do go through life. There are certain requirements or certain rules. If you don't abide by the rules, then guess what? It's not going to work out for you. You got to abide by the rules. God has rules to follow. And if you're not following his rules, then don't wonder why God's not answering it. Don't wonder why God's been silent. Don't wonder why the heaven is brass. The validity of a promise is dependent on the character and the ability of the one who makes it. You see, we can always fall short because we're human. But thankfully, the Lord has both the willingness and the power to do everything that he says. You see, that's what makes it different with him. He has the power to fulfill everything he's promised. If God said it, he can do it. And we need to understand his character. We need to understand his attributes because it proves that God is trustworthy. I want to give you some examples of why you can trust him. He is truthful. Truth is the very essence of his nature. It's impossible for him to lie. Boy, I could preach a message just from that. Today, many churches are exchanging love for truth. Neighbor, you and I talked about this. They're exchanging love for truth. Now, what is the difference? The difference is this. You can love the sinner, but you must hate the sin. Are you with me? Love the sinner, but hate the sin. Today, we want to do both. Today, we want to not just love the sinner, but we want to love the sin. See, that's the problem right there. There's the problem. And a lot of churches are being seduced by this. That's why in the last days, Jesus said, when I come back, will I find faith on the earth? Straight and narrow is the way. Few there will be that will find it. The churches are being compromised. People are being compromised, not just churches. We can believe God's promises because he always tells the truth. Titus 1:2 is a scripture for that. He is faithful. We read that scripture in Hebrews 10:23. Our Lord, if the Lord ever breaks his promise, then our Christian theology falls apart. It's worthless. Because he would cease to be who he says he is. But God has never failed to keep his word in the past so we can trust him for our future as well. That's why we can trust him. But we need to remember that he might not do so according to our time schedules. We sing a song here about God's timing. God's timing is perfect. His timing is different than our timing. His ways are higher than our ways. So he may not always do it according to our time schedule, but he'll do it in the ways that we desire or possibly through people or situations that we might be expecting. He can work that way if he so chooses to do so. Another thing, he is immutable. What does that mean? Anybody know what immutable means? He never changes. He's always the same. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. You know, as we go through life, we see different styles. They come and go. I've lived long enough to see a lot of different styles. I remember when they made the little skinny ties, and they went to the wide ties and the skinny ties, and they keep going back. There's not a whole lot they can do with men's ties, except some of them just take them off and don't wear any. So I've seen a lot of different styles. Speaking about this, lapel. They call this a lapel. In design work, sometimes the lapels get wider. I have a coat. I shouldn't say that. It's still in my closet. Wife says I need to empty my closet. Yeah, I will get eventually to that. The lapel's like over here. That's old. That's an old coat, Bob. When the lapel's that wide, that's old. So, honey, I just keep them because I know it'll be in style pretty soon. No, I'm just teasing. I'm sorry. Poor excuse. Won't work. I might get into it someday. That's another bad excuse. It won't work. Whew, okay. Here we go. And his love. 1 John 4:7 through 10. His promises are always based on our best interests. See, that's why you should seek the kingdom of God first and his righteousness, and all these things will be added on to you. He has your best in mind. He loves you. Wouldn't you want God's best? You can have God's best, but seek him first. Let him work in your life. Seek him first, and you'll get God's best. He has your best interests. You see, the cross is the ultimate proof of his love for us. Jesus said he'd die for our sins, and he did. He loved us enough to keep that promise, and we certainly have no reason to doubt him. Then we look at God's ability. We need to understand just how capable and powerful he is. God is always able to fulfill his promises because he is omniscient. Hebrews chapter 4 and 13, God knows every detail of a situation. He knew exactly what you did this week. He knew exactly what happened in your life this week. Omniscient is just a fancy word for being all-knowing. He knows everything. He knows everything about you. He knows what kind of week you have. And so he does things according to his perspective, not ours. He can see all of our lives, beginning to end. Every promise he makes is based on his infinite, perfect, and complete knowledge, which never means that he never makes a mistake. How about that? He never makes a mistake. Now, you and I are going to make a lot of them, but he never makes any. He's omnipresent. You should know what that means. He's always with you. No matter what you're going through, he will never leave nor forsake you. His continual presence guarantees the fulfillment of every promise. Aren't you glad he was with you, Shane? Amanda, he was with you. I know there was times when you wondered where he was, but he was there all the time. He was there. It's only human sometimes to wonder where he is. He's all-powerful, Psalms 103:19, because the Lord is completely sovereign over heaven and earth. Nothing is out of his control. He has absolute power and authority, and nothing is too difficult for him. And we're trusting with you that her eyesight will be okay. Ooh, getting a little blurry up here. Hold on for a minute here. Whew. Our responsibility, the Lord is absolutely adequate and he is faithful. We have perfect assurance that he will keep his promises, but we must position ourselves to receive what he wants to provide. And I'm closing with this. We must do these three things. We must obey God. Throughout the Old Testament, the Lord issued covenants, and they were conditioned upon acts of obedience. You can read about that in Deuteronomy 28. If we've asked God for something and he hasn't provided it, we need to search our hearts to see if we have failed to obey him in some area. Secondly, we need to believe the Lord. You see, faith is a requirement. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. Always ask yourself if you sincerely trust him to fulfill his word. You see, many people are close to receiving God's best, but they just can't get over that obstacle of unbelief. Would he really do that for me? Yes, he would. He loves you. Don't ever wonder if he would do that for you, because he will. He loves every one of you. Don't ever wonder if he'd ever do that for you. Don't waver. Believe that he loves you and he'll do that for you, because he loves you. And thirdly, and I'm going to talk about this in another Sunday, claiming the promise. There's so many promises in God's word that you haven't claimed, or maybe you wasn't even aware of. but I want to make you aware of them so you can claim them. Can you imagine having a treasure chest in your attic and you never opened it? Can you imagine a millionaire with all his money in the checking account but doesn't make any withdrawals? It's the same way when Christians come and fill a pew in a church and don't understand that they have all these benefits that God provided for us through Jesus Christ. He's provided all these benefits for you, and you haven't taken advantage of them. You haven't, as they'd say, you haven't cashed them in. You're not even aware of them. Sadly, some of your pastors never told you. So here you are, you're stumbling through life and never taking advantage of all these wonderful benefits that each and every one of you have. You just need to know it and claim it. So maybe next Sunday I'll talk about those promises that you haven't claimed yet, and they are yours. And then I'll talk about the song I grew up with. Every promise in the book is mine. Every chapter, every verse, every line, I am trusting in his love divine. Every promise in the book is mine. That's about 99% true. Because you see, there are some promises in the book that relate to Israel, to his people. Well, we're spiritual Israel. Yeah, I know. Don't get theological with me. But there's some that pertain to the Jews only. And in the tribulation period, we know that there's certain things that the Jews will go through. But we'll talk about that. All right, every head bowed. We've reached the time of our time to close. Have you experienced any promises of God in your life recently? How can you go to the next level in your faith, believing that God will continue to provide his promises as he has in the past? So do you have a promise in your life that you haven't yet claimed? I'm sure that you do. You have some prayers that haven't been answered. We'll discuss that too. Prayers that can move God. I'm asking our Tony, if you want to come up now, we're going to have our closing. As we're closing this song they have, you feel free to come forward for whatever reason you have in your heart, whatever is going on in your life. If you have a desire to come and be anointed, you feel free to do that, because each and every Sunday we give you the opportunity to do that. Heavenly Father, I want to thank you for this message today that you've laid in my heart. Thank you for each and every one, Lord, that is here today, and I pray that this word now will have its effect on their lives, each and every one. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.